The Michael Berry Show.
In 2018, something almost tragic happened. Ted Cruz, our junior senator from Texas, son of a charismatic pastor who was at one time locked up in prison under Fidel Castro in communist Cuba, he escaped to America, brought his son, and began immediately teaching his son about the wonders of the American way. Ted Cruz, as a 12 or 13-year-old child, would go to civic groups and quote the entire Constitution. Anybody here want to try that? Now, this is a guy that loves America, and this is a guy that shares our values. This is a guy that loves God and never misses church when he's not doing something with his political work. Ted Cruz is a good, godly man. I've had several opportunities to spend time with Senator Cruz. He almost lost to a committed socialist slash communist. You know, a socialist is just a communist without a gun. You know that, don't you? It's the same, it's of the same seed. It's where government controls everything and you do what you're told.
What is taught to your children matters. Are they taught that this is the land of freedom and opportunity? Because if they are, they'll believe it and they'll live up to it. Are they taught that they should question their sexuality? Are they taught that their parents are monsters? Are they taught to worship the state? Are they taught that the church is to be fled from and the government is to be trusted? What you teach your children is what you will get. Garbage in, garbage out. If you teach your history, if you teach your values, if you teach your faith, you'll get another generation of that. But if you interrupt that, it has been said, the famous line, if you want to see what a government, what a country is going to be in 20 years, look at what they're teaching today. So I pick up the paper one day, the Houston Chronicle, and I read a headline that says, quote, "Call me a Nazi. Former Houston area pastor calls for state book ban." Well, I know that when somebody says, "call me a Nazi," they don't mean that they are, in fact, a Nazi. What they mean by that is, you can use ad hominem attacks on me. You can try to scare me. You can call me a racist or a this or a that. What you are witnessing there is someone who is unafraid. And I will tell you, that is a dangerous, dangerous man. A man who is unafraid of your opinion of him. Somebody famous once said, well, I won't go into that one right now. I will do this one. Edmund Burke. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. What if good men do something? Rick Scarborough was pastor of First Baptist Church in Pearland from 1990 to 2002. He's currently the president of Recover America. Rick Scarborough is a man who does not hold his tongue, and Rick Scarborough, as I mentioned before, is the most dangerous of men of faith because he is fearless. The actual quote was, "Call me a Nazi, call me a book burner. I've been called worse." Pastor Rick, why on earth would they call you these terrible names?
Well, they are trying to silence me, obviously, and you know, if you get out on the pinnacle as you've done, and Michael, I listen to you. I won't say the word religiously; that might be taken out of context. I listen to every time I hear a radio, and especially when I'm driving in traffic, and I always, always am encouraged because you're fearless. I say to myself, how could a guy have that much guts? Well, you know, courage begets courage, and I've decided at this stage in my life, that I'm going to invest the rest of it on a mission to educate parents and mobilize those parents to elect members to the school board who will start making drastic changes in those schools. Because I'm right now sitting looking at my desk. It is covered with books that teachers and librarians have told us to get. And we found a website. We got an email just yesterday from an activist in Missouri who put us onto a website that you literally can put the first letter of any of these books on my desk and then scroll down, and you'll find the entire title, every library book that they've examined in that organization. They then rate from 1 to 4, from 1 being the mildest, 4 being just straight pornography. And I actually have about 6 books that librarians and educators have put in my, made me aware of. And here's the thing that got me back on this firing line, Michael. This teacher sat down in my office and she said, "Brother Rick, I went to 10 different churches to try to get help." She's been teaching in 2 different school districts over the last 10 years. Just burned out finally trying to stop it in one of our larger school districts, and then moved to a medium-sized school district where she's again trying to stop it. But she said, "Not one pastor would even see me except for the 10th man I visited. When he looked at what I had, he said, I can't get involved in that, but Rick Scarborough will. But when she called me up, I said, bring it in. I'll look at it." And I was so overwhelmed with the content. And some of these are just 500 pages of cartoonish drawings, but they leave no doubt in the mind of the reader that anything goes in this world. And, you know, one of the things we've discovered is an organization, the AD, Anti-Defamation League, you know, originally established to confront racism against the Jewish people, but they've branched off into a lot of the things now. They're giving what they call model awards. The program is called No Place for Hate. And so they pass out awards to all these schools that are standing up against bullying. And when you look at the curriculum and what they're doing is they're basically teaching these kids, the only person you're allowed to hate is anybody that tells you that this is wrong. Well, I tell pastors, that's you. The target is on your back, whether you're willing to stand up or not. Because anyone who takes this garbage on is going to be targeted, and then they're going to try to make you an example by destroying you if they can, so that nobody else dare take them on. Well, I'm old enough and seasoned enough that I have no doubt what this is going to require. But God is my witness. My focus, my agenda is to get this garbage out of our schools so they can get back to teaching children how to read and write and do math and have a productive life.
I don't care if somebody disrespects you. You can't shoot them.
The Michael Berry Show.
Your ghetto pass has been revoked.
A new calling now, and that's to recover what we're losing. And so hence we've changed our name to Recover America, because we are losing it rapidly. The name of the message today is America is Collapsing. And you don't want to say amen to that. Maybe oh me would be more appropriate. I want to talk to you about America collapsing. Well, when I returned in 2019, built our staff, opened offices, we were sitting around and brainstorming about the 2020 election. And one of my staff members said, "Well, Rick, there's an election in 2019. I said, "What are you talking about?" "School board elections." I never paid any attention to them, except when I was pastor. When I was pastor back in the early 90s, we took over our school board. We put 4 members out of 7 on the local school board. We put 3 members out of 5 on the city council. We transformed the entire community. And then of those 3 members on the city council, 3 of those went on and served in Washington, D.C., and were replaced by other members of our church. Christiane Amanpour showed up with CNN cameras, followed me around along with Andrea Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's daughter, with HBO, and they tried to destroy me for what I was doing. But you know, discerning Christians across America can smell a rat. They can discern what's right and what's wrong. And all those 2 attacks on our ministry did was propel it to a national status. And we wound up on the front page of the Washington Post, above the fold, I might add. And you know what all these people said? In fact, Christiane Amanpour on that documentary said, Dr. Scarborough's gains will be short-lived. Well, what I love to tell audiences, now I've seen her, you know, I'm looking kind of old, but she looks a lot worse than I do, but that was not necessary. My wife were here, she'd slap me twice. That was tacky, and I apologize, Christiana, if you're watching. Here's the point I wanted to make before I got tacky. Lord, you forgive me too, please. Here's the point I want to make. I say to her everywhere I have a chance to, you be the judge. Three of those members went on and served in the state legislature. One died in office. They named a high school after her. A second one is still serving, and the third one was Randy Weber, who's now in Congress. And so here we are, 20-some-odd years, almost 30 years later, and the effects of that impact of a local church on a community continue on. It is the fastest-growing suburb in all of Texas, Pearland, Texas, where I was pastor. They just elected mayor, one of our youngest deacons. When I left there, he's now the mayor of the fastest-growing suburb in all of Texas and standing faithfully for Christ.
Pastor Rick Scarborough, Pastor Rick, as I call him, is currently the president of Recover America. In addition to pastoring your own flock for 12 years, you have for a very long time mobilized ministers. What is the difference between a pastor who is willing to put himself out there and a pastor who says, you know, Pastor Rick, you keep going, but they might kick me out of the church. What are the personality traits that you notice between the bold and the not so bold?
Well, you know, Michael, what there is really is there's two types of men in our pulpits today, the called man and the hireling. And most everyone, when they finish their theological training, you know, they're ready to charge hell with a water pistol. And often I discover that early in life, they take bold stands. The first confrontation I had as a young preacher back in the early 70s was I found out that my deacon body was about 90% racist. And I found it out when two black children were saved in a revival, wanted to join our church, and suddenly they called a board of deacons meeting without inviting me. I got wind of it, so I went, and they were discussing what they were going to do to keep these blacks from joining their church. Well, at that point, I had to make a decision on whose team I was going to be. Was I going to be safe and keep my job, or was I going to take a stand that could cost me my job? And what ministry is a series of those kind of confrontations. And tragically, when children get to junior high school and moving becomes more complicated, more and more preachers start looking for the safe place. And frankly, the pastors that I graduated from seminary with over 30 years ago, the ones that played it safe did fairly well. They're all retiring and moving to cushy second homes. But the truth of the matter is, there are those called men. And our city has a number of those. Ed Young, my pastor, is standing like a lion against evil in our city. Steve Riggle out at Grace Church. I got stuck on it used to be a Grace over on the side of town where I was off the Gulf Freeway. He built that congregation up to 10,000. He's now out at the Woodlands, and he's repeating that as people are flocking to his church. These courageous pastors who put it all on the line, they're not losing, they're winning. But there are far too many of these safe pastors who just want to make it to the end, get their retirement, and go live life on the beach or out in the country. I'm not made like that. I've been called. I've never tried to start a battle, but I've never run from one either, Michael, whether it was a high school assembly in Pearland that was so over the boundaries of decency, until the teacher came to my office crying because no pastor would even hear what she had to say and none would do anything. Well, that to me was a mission. And then I got to investigating and I found out that this issue, it exceeded anything I could have imagined. We're now living in a day where the abnormal and the immoral are being normalized. The kinds of things our children are seeing as early as pre-K, so acculturate them that nothing is wrong anymore. There's no shame. There's no embarrassment. Anything goes. And how is it affecting our culture? 10 years ago, 1 to 2% of our culture claimed to be born homosexual. They all claimed that they were born that way. I just happen to have a theological disagreement with that. But now it's 10 to 20%, depending on what age group you look at. They're now, by the time they're millennials, 20%. And that statistic was not created out of thin air. 20% say they are either homosexual or bisexual. Well, how can we all of a sudden have such an explosion of people born different than every generation preceding them, all the way back to Sodom and Gomorrah? And the reason is all shame is removed, all boundaries are removed, nothing's wrong, everything's okay, and they're suddenly growing up in a culture where you can do whoever you want, whenever you want, however you want, anytime you want, and the only problem is the preacher who happens to say that's wrong.
Rick Scarborough, if this nation had just a few more men of God like you who were fearless, I'd be a lot more hopeful for our future. I love and respect and appreciate the fact that you follow God's commandment, and you do it often at great cost to you, your reputation, and your bottom line, but you do it. And I respect the heck out of you for it. Rick Scarborough, the website is recoveramerica.com.